G'day, church. Oh, that sounds good. Not because it's my voice, but because Ruben's doing a great job here. It's great to see all the men back in our church. And not only did they like being punished by doing, six-kilometre hikes, but they wanted even more punishment by playing sport yesterday with one another as well. So there's a few maybe slower bodies around the church here today. Just be patient with them. They are good men and they need a lot of love and care before they go back to work tomorrow. There you go, men, I tried. Church, today we're going to be continuing on from a passage I've been preaching during the year about the lost and found, this theme about the lost and found. So I'll just bring up my first slide. You've heard a few sermons now on Jesus telling his people some parables on the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son as well. And they revolved around this key verse in Luke's gospel, Luke 15, verse 1 to 2. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So it's our key verse to work out what is getting Jesus in trouble with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. What's getting him in trouble, which is ultimately going to lead to his accusation, his judgment, and his death on the cross. And we see here the thing that he's been accused of is this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So we've been hearing about what Jesus has to say about this in response to that. He's saying that a shepherd needs to go after the sheep. Even if it's just one sheep who leaves the flock, that good shepherd would go after that one sheep to go and retrieve that sheep and bring it back into the flock. He tells a parable about a woman who loses a coin that is so important to her that she searches the whole house, but she manages to find that one coin and just starts running around the neighborhood saying, "I found what was lost." And she looks so happy and wants to celebrate with her little community there. And we heard about the lost son, this perspective on a father with two sons, with one son doing something very sinful against the father, and yet the father was able to search for him and see him from afar as the son was coming back to the father. And of course, the father wasn't even just knowledgeable on that son and seeing that son, he was also knowing about his older son who was busy actually outside of the party and looking very sad and bitter about his younger brother coming back to the father, even though he had been the one who was busy working for the father each day. But we heard about God's good and graciousness, his grace. His grace being provided to these sons. And we see Jesus himself aligning himself to that father, being able to search out for these sons, being able to search out for the lost sheep, being able to find the lost coins, those things that are valuable, which are people. People who are valuable to God, that he sent his only son to go and retrieve them. So today, we're going to continue and we're going to not just hear about what's lost and found, we're going to hear about a particular sinner in our story, a sinner who's also a tax collector, and he just so happens to be the chief tax collector, and that man is Zacchaeus. He was a sinner, a tax collector, and a chief tax collector. I thought it might be interesting to actually get to see one of these sinners that Jesus was actually wining and dining with and was getting in trouble for. So we're going to hear about Zacchaeus. We're going to hear about how he was too short to see Jesus coming down the road, so he had to climb a tree in order to see him. We're going to hear about how he was a man who saw Jesus and who Jesus himself invited himself over to his house. That's going to be really important. And we're going to hear about how this event, this Jesus going into the chief tax collector's house, gets everyone talking. And people start talking and are really unhappy about that. So a lot of gossip going on. But yet, we're going to hear about how Zacchaeus responded to Jesus despite what was said about him and despite the accusation against Jesus. And we're going to hear about how Jesus responded to Zacchaeus, proclaiming that he had been saved. Okay, all right, we've got to laugh. We're going good. So, if you can turn on your Bibles, turn them on to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read from the NIV. And we're going to go through 10 verses, but I'm going to start with verse 1 and 2. So, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. So the setting of Jesus is that he's getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. He's been doing ministry along the way and he's been revealing the kingdom to his people and he's gathering a lot of followers and a lot of attention. And he's been telling parables, as we just heard about. He's also been doing miracles as well. And he's also been doing a lot of stopping to eat and drink with sinners and tax collectors. But he's in Jericho and he's about 40 kilometers east of Jerusalem. So if we were, Lake Gwellup, if we were Jerusalem and we went east for about 40 minutes in our car, we'd get onto Reed Highway. And we'd go past Malaga and past Caversham, past Midland, and eventually we'd get to Gidgigana. It's about that far, okay? Except it would probably take 10 hours because we'd be walking. So he's about a day out of Jerusalem. And I don't know if you would remember from the earlier in the year when we celebrated Easter, something important happens when he arrives in Jerusalem. Do you remember what that was? Palm Sunday, yes, he arrives and all the people are there. And how does he arrive? He arrives on all things, on a donkey, our funny, ridiculous Jesus, hey? So we've also heard about how Jesus has been, as he was traveling to get to Jerusalem, how he went out of his way to journey in such a way that he would search out one woman, one particular Samaritan woman by the well. Do you remember that story? Yeah, in John's Gospel. So we know that God has been very intentional with sending Jesus to seek out the lost sheep of Israel. And she is one of those lost, just like we're going to see that Zacchaeus is also one of those lost. So he's searching out for people who had either been wandering from the faith or had found themselves unable to fellowship with God's people. It might be due to historical reasons or culture, like the Samaritan woman, or it could be due to life choices that they've made, again, like the Samaritan woman. Or maybe people who, not through their sin, but the effects of sin in the world, like people who were blinded and paralyzed. Jesus has been very intentional about finding these sheep. And he's calling them back into the flock. So before he gets to Jerusalem, where he's going to be betrayed, where he's going to be judged and sentenced to death, we have one final stop at a sinner and tax collector's house. That's the big picture. That's what's going on. But we're going to zoom in to find out what's going on, which brings us to Zacchaeus. So what do we know about Zacchaeus? Not much. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Oh, and he was short. That's right, because it says but he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So he was a chief tax collector, was wealthy, and short. And it's interesting how the gospel doesn't give us much more information than this. We have his occupation, his status, and his height. And we might jump to the conclusion that, yep, he was a sinful man, a man who took money, more money than was required by Roman law, not only taking money for the Roman Empire, but taking more for himself, and taking it from people who were his community, taking it for himself and possibly his family, if he had one. And he wasn't just stealing from anyone, but he was stealing from his own community people. And not only that, they're God's people, so he was stealing from God himself. All the more, while these people of God went hungry and poor, he became wealthy. And of being a tax collector would have brought massive amounts of shame on him. Massive amounts of shame because he is also of God's people. But there's shame to the rest of the community. And so it's one of their own people scamming their friends and families. He's become rich at their expense. And they've become poor, so there's an injustice. So this is a huge betrayal on God's people, which is why tax collectors are very hated amongst God's people. And in addition to that, he's actually been recognized by Rome. So what he's doing is actually legal. He's actually got a license to sin. And then there's the fact that he's short, which I can relate to. But the thing is, he's not just short, right? There's also this crowd. This crowd, because Jesus is drawing hundreds, thousands of people through Jericho as they're getting ready to go into Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals that they would normally celebrate. So he's got this crowd of thousands around him. And this crowd, the community who's been ripped off by people like Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus himself, don't like Zacchaeus. So imagine Zacchaeus coming to church on a Sunday. Imagine us knowing who it is in our church, what he looks like and what he's done. Imagine there's a guy in our church who's scammed a lot of people in our church, maybe through a pyramid scheme. But he's coming to church and we see him in his $100,000 EV while we're all driving ICE cars. He's in his Tesla Model Y. All right, and you purposely beat him into that car park spot just to spite him. And as he's walking to church, imagine because of what he's done, not just to you, but to someone you know, and because of the injustice of it, you get in his way. And you and your friends think it's a good idea to block that person from coming into our church. And what does Zacchaeus do? Well, he realizes he's not going to get in, but perhaps he might be able to climb up one of the posts outside and actually get a good view of Pastor Richard preaching the good news from up here. So this is what I want us to hear today, that although Zacchaeus was what we would call a bad sinner, someone who was doing something wrong, someone who was doing something evil, there's something in Zacchaeus that still wants to pursue Jesus. So somewhere along the lines, Zacchaeus has heard about Jesus. And it might have been because his tax collector buddies have heard about this man who's been wining and dining with them and sharing this good news of offering salvation to them. But Zacchaeus actually, hears about Jesus and wants to see him. But ironically, it's God's people who stop him. They stand in his way of seeing Jesus. Now, they might not have known that Zacchaeus was around because he's a short guy, easy to get lost in the crowd. But that just makes it even sadder because no one saw Zacchaeus. None of God's people did. Except one person did. So as we read on, it says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. See, Jesus, just like Jesus went all the way to find one Samaritan woman at a random well to set her free and trigger her so that she would spread the good news around the community that the Messiah had come, Jesus also went searching for Zacchaeus. Nobody saw Zacchaeus in the crowd. Nobody even saw him high up in the 10-meter tree. But Jesus did. Jesus didn't just see him in the crowd, but Jesus knew that he was up there in that tree. So this is the other thing that I wanted us to hear today. How did Jesus see Zacchaeus? How did he know that he was there? Well, about 600 years earlier, there was a prophetic word given to God's people in the book of Ezekiel. All right, so I just want to read out from Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And in John's gospel, Jesus himself says this, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. That's from John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. The I in that Ezekiel passage is none other than, and if you read it a little bit before, the sovereign Lord, God himself. God himself will search out his sheep. So it's God that knew Zacchaeus. It's God that knew Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus knew him. And so Jesus, God's only son, knew Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus knew him. And just like God knew us before we knew him, Jesus knows him and says, my sheep know me. So we have this passage showing us how Jesus came to show himself to one of the most despised sinners in Jericho, and how that sinner came to receive Jesus. Jesus is God. It's like my favorite saying from Jonah, a little six-year-old. He loves, whenever we talk about God and talk about Jesus, he'll remind us, but Jesus is God. Yes, Jonah, that's right. And there's also the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but Jesus is God and God is Jesus. That's right. We are two-thirds of the way to understanding the doctrine of the Trinity. All right, I'm very proud of the progress God is doing in my son's life, okay? But this is a big thing, right? Because there have been lots of prophets, there have been lots of people in the world who try to do what Jesus did and try to be who he is. But let's not take it for granted. Our Savior is God himself. He was just sent from him to actually go and do this business. Round up the sheep. Round up the sheep. And this becomes a really important thing because you think about how you were saved, if you think about how others were saved, right? It might have been because someone gave them the word, someone shared with them about who Jesus was, but fundamentally, the Bible will continuously point towards the thing that is saving these people is God himself. It's him. And the thing is, he moves first. He says, that's my sheep. That's my person. That's the one I love. That's the one I want. Our part is not to do the saving. Our part is to open the door. Our part is to send a message. Our part is to send the good news. Our part is to uphold the truth. Those kinds of things. But the thing that changes people, the thing that saves people, is God himself. As we keep on reading, we turn to the crowd now. In verse 7, it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. That's when the crowd talks. This is when the crowd gossips. That's all they can say. It's the thing that they want. They want to shun Jesus. They want to bring his name down. The thing is, we can become like that crowd. We can do things like the crowd and talk about this guy, his occupation, without knowing who this guy is. We know his occupation, we know his status, we know he was short, but we don't know Zacchaeus. And we can become like the crowd and we can actually deter people from coming to know Jesus himself. Or we can try and get in God's way if we think that some people shouldn't deserve the goodness and grace of God. Yet with these things against Jesus and against Zacchaeus, it doesn't stop Jesus and Zacchaeus from getting to know each other. Because what happens next? Even though all the people are muttering and talking that this man's going to be a sinner, there Jesus goes again, eating and dining with people that he shouldn't be, who are unclean and unworthy of his presence. Jesus is guilty. He shouldn't be doing that. Even though they're saying all of that, it doesn't stop Jesus and Zacchaeus from getting to know each other. And Zacchaeus says in verse 8, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. When a sinner knows God sees them, it changes them. Because no one fully understands us except for the Lord. So we don't actually know how Jesus did it. We don't know what he said to Zacchaeus. We don't know what Zacchaeus said to him. But these two met. But what we do know that Luke's trying to tell us is that Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was and went after him, and Zacchaeus went searching for him. And when you get these two things coming together, God searching you and you searching God, a miracle happens. Something in you changes. And I don't know if you've ever tried to change someone's mind about something or tried to change their heart about something. The amount of stubbornness that resists that change. But God can do this. And God has done this. When a sinner knows that God sees them for who they are, it changes them. And that's something that we can lean on. We can lean on God to do these things for us. Because we understand that God has these sheep out there that he's calling forth. It's not us that has to be the one to change people. It's him. So what we can do is pray to him. Ask for that person in his name. Ask for that person to be changed. And he will do it. We can have that confidence in him. And there's a beauty in Zacchaeus here because of what he says. He says, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. This is a guy who's been ripping people off. That's his day to day. My job is to collect more from you than I need to. And I'll be better off for it. But I don't want to do that anymore. He wants to give it all back. He wants to restore what was taken away from people. And he wants to offer that to the Lord. And not only that, it's a restoration that goes even further because in the Old Testament law, and this guy knows his law, in Numbers it says this, Numbers chapter 5. This is what happens if you've sinned against someone and need to pay back something. Says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, any man or woman who wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord is guilty and must confess the sin they have committed. They must make full restitution. That means pay it all back for the wrong they have done. They must add a fifth of the value. It means a portion of it back. In addition, and they must give it all to the person they have wronged. But here, something about Jesus changing that sinner turns into, I'm not only going to do that, but I'm going to pay back four times the amount. I think we sung something similar about it before. It's to do with when you know that you are saved, when you know how much you have been saved, when you know how undeserving you are of God's grace. On the other side, when he frees you from that bondage of sin, you become this person who's unrecognizable than before. He's not just that short man climbing up the sycamore fig tree. He becomes a blessing to his community. So maybe during this week, think about those people who in your lives have represented those people who've somehow been changed by the gospel, and their automatic response is, I'm going to go and give so much more of my life to you, Lord, because I know it's worth that much. I know I didn't deserve it, but you thought I was worth it. I guess if I summarize this sermon here today, one of the takeaway points that I wanted us to hear is just about how insistent Jesus was in going to Zacchaeus' house. So in the passage above, when Jesus reached the spot, this is verse 5, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. We can be like the crowd. Because it's easy. It's comfortable. We can be like the crowd and we can be more passive about getting this gift of God's grace out into the world. But here we see something different. Jesus didn't wait. He insisted. I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house today. If you think about you going to your friend's house for a meal, right? It's very odd to invite yourself over for a meal, is it not? Right? Who does that? No one does that. So just like now, it's the same as what it was 2,000 years ago. Bad culture. Okay? It's rude. Okay? And nobody wants to be that guy. But Jesus is that guy. I must stay at your house today. It's a challenging thought because we think that we can't go in. We think that we can't go into people's lives, right? So we'll sit back, we'll let him do his thing, and we'll focus on other things, right? The gospel is saying, I want my sheep. He still wants his sheep. He still wants his lost sheep. He still is in the business, is bad English. He's still in the business of finding lost things. And you and I, we all know lost people. We absolutely do. What we can do is pray that Jesus goes in, that he goes into their house, that he goes and speaks to them, that he does his thing. He changes them. But be active about it. Name those people. Name those people like you actually believe that God cares about that person. And it'll make a difference. It absolutely will. Because he loves it when we pray for these things. He loves it when we come to him and ask him to do something that we can't do. So ask for those souls. Ask for those sheep. Claim them for him. Don't hold that back. Don't hold back that gift that was given to us. I know that it's hard. I know, especially for people in workplaces, over the last few years, it can feel really dark to be a Christian in a workplace these days, right? I know. But will you be inspired by the gospel as I am here today, where it says, be unashamed about the fact that you believe in the Son of God. Be unashamed. Because these sinners, they already feel shame. They absolutely feel it. But we want them to be free. And Jesus does too. He wanted Zacchaeus to be free of the shame that was put on him. And he wants the people that we come into contact with to also know that we don't just look at them in shame. We don't just see them as a chief tax collector. We don't just see that outward appearance of sin. What he wants us to do is see them as a person, my beloved child. He wants to deal with the sin, but he will deal with it. He absolutely will. The crowd did nothing to change Zacchaeus. He did that. So I'm inspired by this word today to have a heart for the lost. I'm reminded that quite often someone's outward sinful appearance will stop us from giving them that grace of God, that sharing with them that gift that was given to us. We know that gift. We love that gift. So we should share it with them. So this week, I encourage you, church, Jesus willingly ate with sinners. In the story, he goes on to die for this man, to die for this sinner. He went after them. God did too. And so I encourage you, contemplate this week what it would be like to willingly go and eat with sinners. God bless you, church.